The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday, as we work together to know the letter better. Into the deeper parts of Philippians, we travel to understand what things the Lord doth require of us, and we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. We seek to bring glory to God in the name of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. First up, loss and gain. Give and get. High risk and high reward. All phrases that have to do with Christianity more than banking and investing. And next, what does a profit man to gain the whole world but to lose his soul? It profits him nothing. So what about giving up everything for Jesus? It means nothing without love. See 1 Corinthians 13:3. And finally, how do we gain Christ if we are already owned by Christ? Receiving is not the same as discovering.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, let me make a few things clear right off the bat. You are able to reach out to us at 972-445-0770. That's the phone number, 972-445-0770. Now, the other day we had our wonderful caller, Mary. She called in at the end of the show, and it probably sounded like I was trying to get her to hurry up, which I was, because when we get a phone call that's close to the 57 mark on the hour, guess what happens? We're off the air. So I have to kind of push things along. So I want to make sure that Mary personally knows I didn't mean to kind of push her off the air, but, you know, and I never want to cut somebody off, but when we come up against a hard break or a hard exit, there's just no space there. So, Mary, I'm sorry I had to kind of make you go fast. It's just one of those things that happens in live radio. The other thing I got to mention is that I said I wanted to do the word study and acknowledge the word study that we did yesterday for which had to do with bread. When I did that, I said it was for Pam and it was for Paige. So I used the wrong word. See? Two things. Oh, my goodness. So this is why I need everybody's help and everybody's grace in getting through these things. You just got to be merciful and loving. That's the call. Sorry, folks. That's how that goes. All right. So we've got a lot of things going on. I want you to be able to call in, by the way, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. We got somebody calling in before even the okay. I love it. This is how we are. This is what we do. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is your father-in-law. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Thank you, Bruce. Bruce is my father-in-law. And for those that do not know, he's like my dad. So my dad passed away about 40 years ago. And so Bruce has been in my life for quite some time, been my dad for that quite some time, and is the best father-in-law. I got the best father and mother-in-law in the world in Bruce and Julie. So thank you, Bruce. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. You're welcome, young man.
Young man. Another year and you won't be able to call me that. That's for sure.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you, Bruce. God bless.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. That's my father-in-law, Bruce. He's a great guy. I love Bruce. He's great. You just, you get fortunate. You know, you get good, you know, good in-laws, bad in-laws, that kind of thing. I got lucky. Or blessed. Let's just go with that. We'll leave it there. And every year on the radio, he calls me on my birthday to wish me a happy birthday. It's like a tradition. Okay. So let's go back to this. I want to make sure everybody knows you can reach us 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. You can do either one of those things. You can do it for praise reports. You can do it for prayer requests. You can do it for pop questions. You can do it for comments. We just say keep it cool, right? Keep it cool. That's our thing. We would use keep it classy, but since that's a movie line, we're just going to use keep it cool. Okay, that's how we're going to do it. Here is, by the way, the first trivia question for those that are feeling brave. If you're feeling brave, here it goes. About whom was the following statement made? Among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than? Okay, there you go. Fill in that answer. If you think you know the answer, you're welcome to call in 972-445-0770. Also, you can text in 214-210-8483. Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. I think I've proved that pretty clearly. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right. How you doing, by the way? You doing good?
I'm good. I just have something for you.
Okay. Okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much, T. That was very sweet of you to do. I appreciate that greatly. For those that want to know how old I am, here's my response. Old enough. That's what you got to remember. That's right. All right. Here's the trivia question up on the board. About whom was the following statement made? Among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than? All right. There you go. We're going to leave that there. We got to get into our teaching just because of a time frame. And this is expository teaching, expository Thursday. So let's play our fantastic sound clip.
Wow. Wow! Wow! All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
Once again, that has nothing to do with anything other than I just like that sound clip and I like to play it before we do expository teaching. We are in Philippians chapter 3, and believe it or not, ironically, on my birthday, this is my absolute favorite two verses. I'm going to read the verse prior, and then I'm going to teach on the other two verses, and these are my favorite two. People say you can't have a favorite verse. Sure. Anyway, these are my favorite verses in the scripture. So here we go. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to start with verse 7, but focus in on verse 8 and 9. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. I just am overwhelmed when I read this verse because Paul is saying, you know what? I'm reflecting on everything. He goes, yet indeed, he goes, you know, all these things that were gained to me, they're lost. I'm reflecting on everything there is in life, on everybody and everything. And in Paul's mind, he had it nailed down. He goes, look, compared to knowing Jesus, all these other things are a loss. Compared to knowing Jesus Christ, compared to the excellence of knowing Jesus Christ. And for those that want to know about knowing Jesus Christ, there's the Greek word epigenosa and genosa. Genosa means to know by knowledge, and epigenosa means to know by knowledge and experience, or and by feelings, or and by time. So listen to this. Listen to this. Paul says, I count everything as a loss, just absolutely worthless compared to the epigenosa, the knowing of Christ, experientially and factually. There is a process to know Jesus through the scripture that you get to understand who he is. You get to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you get this connection to Jesus and who he is and what he did and how he's the Savior, and he died and he laid down his life for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we get to know that from this point of view of reading. But then when you say yes by faith, which the whole process of salvation is given by grace, then you get to move into the next step, which is to know Jesus, not just in your head, but also in your heart. And those that only know Jesus in their head, they're only aware intellectually, don't really know the Lord. And Jesus said very clearly, he said, those are saying, didn't we do this? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do this in your name? Matthew 7:21, he said, depart from me. I never knew you. And there is a process. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have life. These are they that testify of me. The scriptures point us to Jesus. And so if you just have an intellectual grasp, you need to move, you need to open up the darkness of your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I want you inside my heart. I want to know you in my mind, but I want to know you in my heart. I want to know you experientially. I want to know you factually. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want you to be the one that directs my life. I want you to be the one that I come and cry to. And that's what Paul says. He goes, in everything else in life, and think of all that he gained, everything else, all his status, all his position, all the people he knew, all the people he experienced. He had family. We know that from Scripture. His nephew was the one who helped him out when he was in prison one time. It's like all of that meant nothing compared to knowing Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, this is your moment right now. There might not be another moment. I don't know. This is the time to say, yes, Lord Jesus. All you have to do is pray that. Say, yes, Lord Jesus, yes. I acknowledge you. I confess my sins. I acknowledge you as King, as Lord, and as Savior. Isn't that cool? That's nothing. Wait till we jump into this stuff. So much fun. I'm amazed. All right, and then let me answer the trivia question before anybody gets mad at me about whom the following statement was made. Among those who are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than Johnny B, John the Baptist. That's the one we're talking about. Johnny B. All right, take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Thanks for listening to David Spoon on KAAM. Bible trivia is sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Trust the AC coach to take care of your heating and cooling needs. Call or visit him online today at TexasAirKing.com.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Verse 24 in Mark 5, it says Jesus went with them. Sometimes Jesus went there. Sometimes Jesus just spoke the word. Sometimes Jesus went there. It happens in all different ways. I did read this ridiculous thing from this one person who said, you know, Jesus, you know, healed, you know, every single person in the entire community and didn't charge anybody any money. They were trying to make a political argument. And the fact of the matter is he only healed one guy at the pool of Bethsaida, and that was actually a hospital. It's like, what do you guys read this stuff? So this is where you pull back from those kind of things and you go, can we just keep it on track with the truth? It's just easier if you just tell the truth and keep it the way it is and not try and make it fit some kind of narrative. Here's this narrative issued by Scripture itself. Jesus tells Jairus, don't ignore what these people are saying. Don't be afraid. Take a stand. Now, I'm going to read verse 37. You got to catch what Jesus does. Amazing. He did not let anyone follow him in except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why is all this commotion? Why all this wailing? The child's not dead but asleep. But they laughed at him. And he put them all out and took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, Talitha kaum, And that means, little girl, I say unto you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. Remember the woman of the issue of the blood was 12 years of the issue of the blood. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. Jesus was still ministering to this little girl, even though she was physically raised from the dead. He wanted to make sure she was taken care of. That's how Jesus is, okay? But what I want you to get is Jesus and the disciples and the parents, so they're all there, right? Because you got the parents there as well, right? And everybody's going, she's dead, she's dead, she's dead. And they're making fun of Jesus. What did Jesus do? Kicked them out. You know, for everybody that thinks that everything Jesus did was pull a flower out of his sleeve like a magician and just smiled and gave everybody an air high five, that's not how it went. Okay? They laughed at Jesus, and he put them all out. He took the child's father and mother and disciples with him. What did he do? He cleared the air. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. A big shout out to my father-in-law, Bruce, for calling up, for him and Julie calling up. Also, don't forget September and Glenn. So that's my sister-in-law and her husband who do livinginhisgrip.com and help us provide some of the music. And then a big shout out to Joy. Joy called in to say happy birthday. Thank you, Joy. Thank you, Cordy. I appreciate it very much. All right, on to trivia. On to trivia. Now we're doing this right in lieu of Coach and Texas Air King. So I want to just make sure before we play it, you understand, because I'm not even sure it's on the clip. TexasAirKing.com. TexasAirKing.com. All right, go ahead and play the clip.
Up next is Bible Trivia, sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Make sure your home is comfortable in any weather and contact the AC coach today. Call or visit him online at TexasAirKing.com.
Oh, yeah, they do it. Okay, see, I didn't even realize. See, I don't even listen to my own commercials. Boy, I'm terrible. You know what it is? It's age.
It's the coming of age.
It's the coming. You know, how do you feel? Do you feel any older? Do you feel a year older? I feel a year older every time I get out of bed on the wrong side. I just want to point that out. So now I'm at 197 is what my age is. Okay, here's the trivia question from Texas Air King. My bad that I didn't notice that they gave the website. At whose command were 300 pitchers broken? Who gave a command? Break the pitchers. And there's 300 of them. Who gave that command? If you think you know, you can call in or you can text in. Either way will work for us. In the meantime, don't forget about our website, HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org. HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so that's the place where we get our most of our giving gets taken place there. If those are, if you're in that place where you can help or participate, we would greatly appreciate it. We need it. It's, you know, November was a tougher month, you know, but we did pretty good the months prior and we're pretty tight. We operate our money really tight. I mean, every once in a while, I spend $11 on an electronic book to help me for study. I mean, that's true. I do it. So in the meantime, if you can participate, great. If you can't, you can be praying for us and participating with us that way. We encourage that. And we'll always tell you this, no matter what, make sure to give to your home base, your church first. Okay? Make sure to take care of home base first. And then if there's stuff left over, fantastic. That's our attitude about that. All right. Again, acknowledgments for everybody. Shout outs to everybody. I do want to let you know we're working on some different, you know, so you know how we're going from 60 to 90 minutes? We're working on some new stuff that we might bring in your direction. Could involve, possibly involve, reviewing certain headlines. It could also involve eschatology and spiritual gifts and so on and so forth. We want to be careful, though, because right behind us is End Times Ministry, and we support them. We think that's fantastic, right? Okay. All right, here we go. What are we doing now? Have we covered everything? Yeah, okay. I have to look to T to tell me what I'm doing. Here's the next portion of the scripture. Again, my favorite portion, so just get in there, hang in there, and then I'll give you the answer to who commanded the breaking of 300 pitchers. That key, 300, that should be the key for most of you to know that. Here we go. Here's the rest of this verse. Paul said, he goes, but what things were gained to me, those I have counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Now watch this, okay? I want you to absolutely catch this. Ready? Whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Did you hear that? Whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Now here's what I want you to get. Paul talks about suffering a certain sense of loss for the kingdom. And what we think of when we hear suffering is, most people think, they think of like a physical suffering, which he did endure, other types of suffering. But he was talking about a sacrificial change of his life in order for his life to glorify the Lord. The Lord does not require every single person to take every single thing they have and drop it in a bucket, put on a knapsack and a stick, and get a really big hat, and then walk all over the earth. That's not what the Lord requires of each person. But what the Lord does require is that our life is a sacrifice, a forfeiture of certain sorts about all of the luxuries that we could have if we were just worldly minded. In other words, if you were fleshly minded and worldly minded, you could set your entire goal, your entire perspective on just being comfortable, having everything you want, never having to worry about any of those things because you're just geared towards greed and towards finance and towards money. But if you do that, you're going to suffer eternal damage. And what Paul is talking about is switching that and forfeiting worldly pleasure so that you can have eternal blessings. And he says, look, I consider all these things that I have giving up or that I'm not pursuing, not being this worldly type of person, I consider them as rubbish. Now, I'm going to say it and be very careful here. The actual word is not rubbish. Okay? There's even an interpretation where they'll say it's food scraps. That's not correct either. It's dung. As in D-U-N-G. It's primarily animal dung, but that's not the point. The point is Paul's like going, I consider that worthless. He's talking about worthless, right? This is like, this is like not worth anything. Now, there's a couple of translations that actually will use that. And I'm just telling you what the word is. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write it. I'm not the Greek author. Okay, but the idea here is that Paul is doing a comparison. And this is the comparison for you and I, right? The glory that's coming is not to be put on the same scale as the struggle you're going through right now. I know many of you are struggling, but Paul, through the Holy Spirit, defines that current struggle as a light and momentary affliction, especially compared to what's coming. And what Paul says here, which he says in many other places, is, look, I consider everything else rubbish. It's a loss. It's animal dung compared to getting closer to Christ. I just compare all that stuff as nothing. And let me tell you the secret, quote, sauce, quote, that everybody seems to be looking for in the most simplistic sense. Everything you view in the context of eternity. And you will walk a great Christian walk. Did you hear that? Everything that you look at through the eyes of eternity, and you will enable that part of you to keep going in the Lord. You will be more open to the Holy Spirit influencing you for you to be able to endure, and comforting you for you to be able to get through. One of the things that happens is we get into a circumstance, or we get into a situation, and it doesn't matter if it's a day, a week, a month, a year, or a decade. We get so focused on what's going on that we lose eternal perspective. And when we lose eternal perspective, we lose the power to endure for the sake of Christ. And what Paul is saying in this text is, look, I've suffered the loss of all that. I count that as nothing. Because in a comparison, you're going to have an eternal home established by God that's so fantastic that from your mind point of view, your streets in your neighborhood are going to be so awesome, they'll be gold. Now, that's a place you want to go. That's a place you want to be. And in the face of eternity, frustration and disappointment loses its power. And that's what Paul's talking about. He's like, I consider that nothing. It's nothing. There's coming a moment. A trumpet is going to blow. It's coming sooner than you think. And that's going to be it, man. It's going to be over. I'm going to be filled with joy and filled with happiness. Every pain, every tear, every moment of hurt gone. Free. Full of peace. Full of glory. Full of joy. Full of love. By the presence of God himself. And that's why I contend you can't do that actually on this side of glory, because I think our bodies would explode. I think your body would go, pow. That's why you need a new body, because to be in the presence of God, I just think it would be so overwhelming, you'd melt, you know, like Jell-O on a hot day. Down you go. It's like, yeah, that's right. I get my own sound effects. So it's for you to understand, this is the joy. This is the glory. This is what the whole thing is about. This is what it's about. It's about understanding that knowing Jesus Christ pushes you past this other stuff and enables you to go forward with great anticipation and expectation of greatness coming from the presence of the Lord. How awesome is that? You know, this is, I could do this for hours and hours and hours, but this is just him just making statements. And these statements, anointed by the Holy Spirit, are telling you, look, what you're going through is tough, but it's nothing to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed. So stand firm in your faith. See things through eternity, right? All right, let me give you the answer. The answer, by the way, to the trivia question on who was it who commanded that 300 pitchers be broken or smashed or whatever you want to say would be Gideon. Gideon in Judges 7, chapter 7, verse 16 and verse 19. Take a break and come back. We got so much more. Do not go anywhere. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor, now I use that word with some reservation, having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting seven churches throughout the United States and having three separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay, that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage. At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today,
He said, he would say, I didn't know it all. This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that just overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right, I said it. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to make sure, and I said it before in the beginning of the show, but it's worth repeating because I don't know what time everybody joins in. But yesterday I had to hurry up our wonderful Mary. She was on the phone, and she was asking a question. I had to kind of make it happen fast. Sometimes if you get on the phone with me and I have to move it fast, it's never because I don't want to talk to you. It's just because we have hard breaks that we have to exit on, and sometimes that makes me seem kind of like pushy. Okay, I'm pushy in other ways. That's not the way I'm pushy. I'm just doing that because I know that we're coming across that. So if you ever hear me do that or whatever, I just don't want you to get the wrong impression. Also, I will tell you that I'm going to make an announcement tomorrow about the audience having the opportunity, watch this, to help form the show. We're going to be asking you guys if you have some things that you'd like to see in Christian radio, live Christian radio, then we'll see if we can add that in as we add the extra time in. Isn't that kind of cool? We're going to try and use. So I've got 1,000 ideas. The problem is my 1,000 ideas probably have 998 ideas that are not that great. So I want other people's insight because I'm not the only person that knows. It could be, hey, we want to, you know, talk more about current events, or hey, we want to talk more about good places to eat in Texas, or hey, we want to talk about, you know, who's got the best pizza, or we could stop talking about food because I'm really hungry and I'm waiting to do a barbecue at my son's house tonight. So you know, it's that kind of stuff that's going on. All right, so let's get the next trivia question in, and then we'll go from there. The next trivia question is a little easier question, I think, than the previous questions. How many days was Saul, before he became Paul, how many days was Saul blind in Damascus? How many days was he blind in Damascus? Ooh. So he was, remember, he was on his donkey, and then the Lord went, bam! And then he was no longer on his donkey, but on his rear side, and then he went over to Damascus. How many days was he there, and how many days was he there blind is kind of the question that we're asking, okay? All right, and then the last time I'm going to say this again, Paige, I'm really sorry. I said I want to give this word of the day sent out in honor of Pam, and I said Pam instead of Paige. Paige, I'm sorry. As you imagine my wife, how many times I gotta say sorry? All right, anyway, what do we got? This is David. Who am I talking to?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear David. Happy birthday.
Cordy.
You guys are you're great! I love you guys!
And we know the answer.
What's the answer to the trivia question?
Three.
That is correct! Yes! That is correct. Man, did you guys do it. You hit it out of the park. That is that's going to have to get captured and replayed on a regular basis. Excellent job, ladies.
You.
Oh, you're so great.
We love you and celebrate you and keep teaching.
Oh, you got it.
Okay. Yes.
God bless. Good
God
job.
Bless you.
Good job, bye-bye. Cordy. Good job, Cordy. Good job, Joy. Excellent work.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I got serenaded.
I know, they are the sweetest.
That's right. So that's my birthday. Big birthday thing today is going to my son's house, and I was telling T, he's making ribs. Now, he's cooked for me twice before. Now, it's a little harder to mess up chicken, I think, you know, especially if it's store-bought. But my real theory there is, well, I'll let you know tomorrow. If you hear Dave has, you know, any kind of stomach problem, you'll know how it went. That'll be your first clue. All right, let us. Good job on the trivia question. That was the answer. How many days was Saul blind in Damascus? He was there 3 days. If you really study threes in the New Testament, there's a lot of them. Just going to point that out to you. Nothing overly bizarre. It's just fascinating. Don't forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right. And what we're going to do is we're going to do our history in the next segment because I was serenaded.
What a great job they did.
We covered that. Am I missing anything? Got the trivia done. We got that done. Let's see. We're going to wait on the Hebrew word till tomorrow, and then in the next segment we'll do the history. Okay. I tell T so she can keep me, like, you know, on track. Let's go to this next portion. Again, this is my favorite portion, so you have to understand I could talk about this a lot longer than a lot of other things, so I'm trying to kind of get through it at a better pace for you guys to stay on top of it. Here's what Paul said in Philippians 3:7, then 8, and then 9. He says this, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence," I love that word, "excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, who I have suffered the loss of all things," and that word suffered is actually forfeited the loss of all things, "and count them as rubbish," it's nothing, "that I may gain Christ and be found in him." Now, there's two things here that we're going to key in on before we go to the next portion. This is the real expository stuff. When he says that I may gain Christ, you think, well, wait, I'm a Christian. And I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he died on the cross. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again. And so if I believe that, and I believe the testimony God gives in regards to my sins being redeemed by the righteousness and the righteous sacrifice of Jesus Christ, then how is it that I'm going to gain Christ if I'm already a Christian? See, that is a honest, good question. And the answer is straightforward. The way you gain Christ is, this is not receiving Jesus the way that you and I think of it, that I may gain Christ. That's not what he's talking about. He's already gained Christ in the context of receiving. Now he's talking about the next phase, which is discovering. And the gain has to do with knowing Jesus more. And so you've heard me say on this show before, the answer is always more of God. And that is true. Or the answer is always trusting God. That is true too. Because the more you have of the Lord in your life, the better everything else is, because he's the best there is, and having the best makes all the lesser things just a little better. And the idea behind this that Paul's talking about is he wants to gain, he wants to advance in Jesus Christ. He doesn't want to just first introduce, he's already done that. He's already said, I, for the excellency of knowing Christ Jesus, suffered the loss of all things, count them as rubbish, that I might gain, that I might grow in that depth and relationship, that I may take that next step, that I may learn who he is, that I may understand who he is. And here is why these things are absolutely, I cannot say that they're any more than this, how critical they are. Listen to this passage in Colossians 2, verse 2 and 3. It says, in order that we may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Jesus Christ is all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And people think, well, no, that's just spiritual hyperbole. And it's like, no, it's not. In Jesus Christ is the core of righteous knowledge. And the more you know Jesus, the more you understand wisdom and knowledge and everything else there is. And that's why there's an encouragement for us to be passionate about knowing the Lord. It's not just saying hi, shaking his hand, and then living your next 60 years as an American, and you've done the right thing now. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is this continual relationship in which you grow and develop as you draw closer to the Lord. And so Paul says, look, I want to gain in Christ. I want to advance. I want to move forward in Jesus and be found in him. I love that phrase, be found in him, because it's in the perfect present tense. It's like, and be in him. I want to be found in him. I want to live in him. Remember what Jesus said? If you live in me, remember, abide in me. Remember all those little sayings that Jesus had? All these gospel sayings, right? Abide in me. And if my word abides in you, do you know how you abide in something? So the word abide means to live. Live in Jesus. And you're going to find out something that's so amazing. He is so full of grace and mercy. The closer in you get, the worse you're going to feel about you, but the better you're going to know your Savior, and the more you'll understand redemption. It's like, you're kidding, right? This is unbelievable. The closer in I get, I might feel bad, but then it helps me understand and appreciate more the fact that I'm even saved. Exactly. And you keep pushing in and stepping in and stepping in. Oh, it's the greatest there is, because in Jesus Christ is all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom. Everything is in him. Yeah, I know most people think they're going to find that satisfaction in what they do for a living, or in who they're with, or in their children, or in their parents, or in their pets, or in their projects. Wrong. Every one of those, wrong. You get what you're looking for in Jesus, which is why when you die to you, you start to live to him. That's where it's found. That's why this passion, this portion is so unbelievable. It's like, oh, I need this. Yeah, tell the Lord. He'll get you on the journey. Guaranteed. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Take a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait. There's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. and check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
GOP congressman's gay son was going to come on their show, and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his father maintained his beliefs. His son becomes gay, makes a decision, by the way, to become gay. And the son will not criticize the father who does not change his Christian convictions. Will not change them. Father won't change them. Son will not criticize the father for that. MSNBC and CNN both canceled their interviews because the guy would not crucify his father. That is, of all things, as low as the press can go.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience. Only for the brave of heart and the bored.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to remind you, go to our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, and then I do want to get, because we got so much to cover, so you're just going to have to hang in there with me, okay? We're going to do history real fast. Let's do history fast.
Let's go live.
All right, so a couple things to tell you about history I want you to be aware of. So this is really kind of cool, so just bear with me for a second. First of all, today, on my birthday, which I find to be amazing, okay, it's Be a Blessing Day. No, really, it's Be a Blessing Day. At the same time, I find this to be less exciting. It's also National Salesperson Day.
See,
so on one hand, on my birthday, it's Be a Blessing Day, and then on the other hand, it's National Salesperson Day. I don't know how I feel about that. I have to work through that. It is also Advocates Day, and I thought this would be kind of a nice little spot just to tell you that, you know, an advocate, most people are aware that that's the Greek word parakletos, and we talk about the Holy Spirit being the advocate, but also Jesus Christ is our advocate. 1 John 2:1, my dear children, I write this to you so you will not sin, but if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Same exact word. Advocate, helper, intercessor. The dictionary definition of an advocate is a person who publicly supports and recommends a particular cause or a policy. But Jesus publicly and personally supports you. He's your advocate. Isn't that cool? I just think that's cool. That's just kind of how I think of things. And then a couple of things to tell you, and then we'll move into the next phase. So on this day, for those that do not know, 1775, on this day, the first official U.S. flag raising took place on the Navy ship Alfred. I don't know why they named a ship Alfred, but they did. And then in 1609, Galileo built an improved telescope that really gave access to the stars, quote unquote. And then this was the one that I, you know, always find one that's cool. Here it is, 1948 on this day. Now, if you remember these, you are old like me. Okay. 1948, on this day, the 7-inch 45 RPM record came out for the first time. They released the 45s on this day, and then about 3 months later or 2 months later, they released a whole bunch of them. And initially, for those that don't know, they were released in 7 colors. Did you know that? Dark blue was for light classics. Light blue was for an international series. Yellow was for young songs. Red was for folk songs. And then the green was for country songs. You probably didn't even know that. It's like, really? Wow. All right, let me finish up and don't go anywhere. Just listen to what I got to say. So Paul in Philippians taking this time in this portion, one of the most pivotal texts that there is in the framework of Scripture. As you know, we were talking about what he says. He says, yet he said, indeed, I count all things lost for the excellency of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, to whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Okay? Okay. So listen to this text. Listen to what Paul is saying. He's like, look, everything for everything is about Jesus. And I give up everything and count it but rubbish, but animal dung. It's nothing to me. And I forfeit it and just count it as nothing just to know him factually and experientially, just to know Jesus. It's all I care about. And just to be found, to gain in him, to grow in him, to develop in him 1 inch at a time, 1 step at a time. And to be found in him, which is a current present tense, not having my own righteousness. Not having our own sense or level of just and rightness. Because the human sense of just and rightness is terrible. In our woke community, there's about 9 million new things. And guess what's going to happen in about, I don't know, what, give me about 5 years? There's going to be 9 million more new things. Somebody's going to go, well, I am really offended that somebody drives a car that has a red top and has yellow on this. And then that will be deemed inappropriate. It's like people are losing their minds. And it's the whole premise here is man trying to establish his own sense of rightness or righteousness. Why do you think they have the phrase politically correct? That's a way to say this is a standard that people should operate by, that everybody is correct in. Here's the problem. The problem is it's ever changing. It's never consistent. It's always muted, and then it's diluted, and then there's no actual standard. And if you're looking for the standard of righteousness in man, for all the good that we have done, and there's been much good that we've done, we've learned to kill people in that many more ways. It's like we're just as bad as we are good. Maybe that was the whole premise of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil that Adam and Eve ate, right? And so we gain in good and we gain in bad. And that righteousness of mankind, not sufficient to be at the level that God is. So Paul says, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, because everybody falls short of that. We know that as a fact because we've examined the law and we were short, so much so that God said, I got to establish a new covenant because you guys blew it. And then he says this, but that which is through faith in Christ, watch this, the righteousness which is from God and by faith. The righteous standing that we need to have fellowship with a righteous God can only be provided by God. It is granted to us from God, and it is received by faith. You know, there's people that say, well, how do you receive Jesus in your heart? That doesn't make any sense. No, it's by faith you believe Jesus is in your heart. It's by faith the Holy Spirit abides inside you. It's by faith you believe the testimony that God has given regarding his son. It's by faith that you please God, and it's by faith that you're getting in. That faith is what gives you access to the grace that God has extended to you. It's as though he gives you a gift, and he says, now you got to believe. And you hold out your hand, and then there's the gift. Listen to what Paul said. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. Can't do it. I'm unable to. My deeds are insufficient. They will never match to the level and the righteousness and the holiness of God. But that righteousness which comes by me having faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is from God, the only righteousness that will get you into fellowship with God, and it has to be received by faith. Can't be earned, by the way. It has to be received. And this is what Paul is talking about. He's talking about, you know, all that stuff's rubbish. Doesn't mean a thing. I forfeit everything. It's all like animal dung. It doesn't mean a thing. Because I just want to grow in Christ. I want to know him. I want to be found in him. I want to live in him. Not having my own rightness, not having my own goodness, not having my own establishment of what's just and not just, but just yielding to the righteousness of God, which he has given me as a gift and that I receive by faith. That's what I want, that thing right there. Because then the relationship with God is different. And as in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 1 through 8, essentially, but verse 7 and 8 say that those that are in the flesh, they're hostile with God. And guess what isn't going to happen for people that are hostile with God? They ain't going in. That ain't happening. Yeah, I hate God. I hate everything he does. I dislike everything he does. Guess what? That person's not going in. It's like, they would be miserable. Heaven for them would be like hell because they hate God. It's like, fine. Do you get it? This is the key. What things were gained to me, I count loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God and received by faith. That is awesome. Okay. Good enough. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. God bless y'all.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.